Good morning. Welcome to our Wednesday devotion and prayer time. My name is Tom Lemler. I am a staff member of the Deer Run Church of Christ in South Bend, Indiana, as well as the director of Impact Prayer Ministry. We're talking and praying this week about this time to gather as those that have been resurrected with Christ. We gather together for a variety of reasons. And Sunday we talked, kind of shifted the focus to talking about beginning that healing process. But the purpose of healing is not simply so that we can be well, that we can be made whole, but so that we can serve. And so that's our focus throughout the week. And so we're to the R part and using serve as the acrostic for our weekday broadcast devotions. We looked at a time to share on Monday, a time to equip yesterday, and today we're to that time to rebuke and repent. Some heavy words, heavy concepts, heavy things to put into practice. And for most of us, we like one better than the other. Well, it depends on which side we're on. And we'll jump into that in just a moment. Our text this morning is from Luke chapter 17, verse 3. And Jesus says, "So watch yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him." The context, Jesus is talking about the difficulty of sin and the fact that it is present. And so I want to back up to Luke 17, the preceding two verses to what I just read. Verses 1 and 2 says, Jesus is speaking, he said, "Things that cause people to sin are bound to come. But woe to that person through whom they come. It would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around his neck than for him to cause one of these little ones to sin. So watch yourselves." And so we have this instruction that recognizes that sin is around us. The enemy does everything possible to lead us, to draw us into that temptation, to keep us from overcoming the temptation. But just because there's sin in this world, Jesus makes it clear that, well, it's not our job to cause it. And especially to the little ones. And Jesus has a lot of teaching about how we treat children. And I think it applies across the board to children of all ages. I think about abortion and how we discard our children before they're even born. I think about our throwaway society and how we ignore the children that are around us, sometimes within our own home. How our care isn't what it ought to be because, well, frankly, because we care too much about ourselves. We have corporations in this country and around the world who make profits creating things that lead people into sin. And it's easy to look at those and say, well, that's what he's talking about. Woe to those that create various, in our culture primarily, and in a large way, media resources that lead people into sin, but that's too easy. It's too easy to point fingers at someone else, to an unknown, unfaced entity. Jesus is talking specifically to individuals and saying, woe to that person who causes someone to sin, through whom sin comes, especially to these little ones. And in that context, he says, watch yourselves, therefore. And pay attention. And he says, if your brother sins, rebuke him. Now, often within the context, when Jesus is talking about us confronting sin in others, it's generally referring to sin that they commit against us, sin that we're involved in as the injured party, so to speak. It's more common that Jesus refers to that than challenging us to go out and stand on the street corner and confront every sin that we see. There are times you've got John the Baptist who was out preaching a message of repentance, that people ought to turn from sin, and you have a very specific incident where he confronts, well, Herod, and ends up losing his head because of that personal confrontation. But overall, when we think about those that we ought to rebuke, sometimes we're happy to do that. Somebody needs to tell them. Somebody needs to put them in their place. But many times we're fearful of that, because whether we readily admit it or not, in the back of our mind is at least the principle of Jesus' teaching that how can you take the speck of sin out of your brother's eye when you've got a plank of sin in your own? And so even if that sin is done against us, we hesitate to point it out because, well, we're comfortable with our sin. We don't want them to return the favor. But God tells us that we ought to be able to rebuke, and that might be a harsh word in our mind, but in God's language, it's a loving word. It's a process of acknowledging sin and making it obvious that it's harmful. When Jesus would encounter people who were possessed by demons, he often would rebuke the demons and tell them they had to leave, that there was no place for them within this individual. And that's the nature of what Jesus is talking about. He's not talking about rebuking a person in the sense that we're condemning them. We're telling them they don't belong, they don't fit in, that they're outcast. He's talking about rebuking the sin that no longer has a place to belong. And far too often we get hung up on this practice because, well, we either think we are needing to rebuke the person to cause them to be an outcast, or we're not quite sure how to go about this, or it's taken in that way, whether that's our intention or not. But it ought to be our responsibility as Christians to tell sin it has no place of belonging in our life. It has no place of belonging in the lives of those who follow Jesus. There are times that it creeps in, it trespasses. It's seen in our life and in our land, our property, our person. And we can say it doesn't belong here. And so when we begin to view rebuke as a means of cleaning up the sin that is in our own life and the sin that is around us, we begin to see the second part of this Because not only is it time as we gather together to rebuke, it's time as we gather together to repent. And many times that is the result of the rebuke. That is the result of telling sin it doesn't belong here anymore. That's the desired result. And the reason I think Jesus is talking specifically about sin that is done against you individually is because he goes on to say, if they repent, forgive them. And so it seems as a very personal interaction. That I'm telling someone that your actions, your words, what you've done here is against God's law. And it's injured me in some way. How can we make this right? And for them to respond, I'm sorry, I didn't realize the consequences. I want to change. Forgive me. And we offer that forgiveness and we continue as brothers and sisters in Christ. And so we learn that sin is evil. It has no place amongst us, but forgiveness is powerful. When the Bible tells us that love covers a multitude of sin, we have the greatest picture of that of all times, and that the love of Jesus put him on that cross to cover your sin and my sin and the sin of mankind. And so we live with this recognition of our imperfections. And we forgive. Jesus teaches we ought to forgive just as we have been forgiven, just as we desire to be forgiven. And the idea of holding grudges and acting as if a person is condemned, whether we admit that's our motive or not, isn't in line with this gathering together as the resurrected body of Christ. We have died to sin. Sin has been rebuked by Jesus in telling Satan that we don't belong to him any longer. That we've died and we've risen with Christ. That our life is new. And sometimes we need to remind one another of that. We gather together to encourage one another. And while it doesn't sound like it on the surface, at least not to my ears, most ears, the people I know, one of the ways that we encourage one another is to rebuke them when they've allowed sin to remain. I'm not talking about this nitpicky, harsh thing that gets on somebody every time that they stumble. Sometimes we recognize that immediately and we deal with it between ourselves and God, and that ought to be enough. But when it spills over into the lives of others and we're not doing anything about it, God directs those that it spills into to rebuke us, to let us know that it's affecting the body, that it has no place of belonging anymore, that Christ himself has conquered it and told sin it's time to go. And in the midst of that, we practice forgiveness. And when we learn that the rebuking that I'm talking about, the rebuking that Jesus is talking about, is based in love, when we practice it as that which is based in love, we learn the power. First off, we learn the power of repentance, the power of agreeing that sin has no place of dwelling in my life anymore. But we also learn the power of forgiveness, of being able to overcome the traps of the enemy. We're stronger when we're together, and the enemy does everything within his power to divide us, to take those sins that we commit that involve others, that leak over into others' lives, that make us weak. And rather than coming together to rebuke the enemy, to rebuke the stranglehold of sin, to rebuke division, we get caught up in the web of deceit, and we become isolated. And God's desire, as we come together as those who have been resurrected in Christ, is that we encourage one another, that we lift up one another, and that we make Him known in all that we do. Would you spend some time today praying with me? Father, thank you that you are a God that loves us. Your love has called us to yourself and given us everything that we need to make things right between you and us and between us and one another. You've shown us the power of rebuking sin, of telling it doesn't belong any longer. You've shown us the power of repentance as we turn and change and go from death to life. And you've shown us the power of forgiveness as we live as those forgiven by you. As we've been rebuked, as we've repented, as we've been cleansed. And so God, today as we live life, may you help us to live in such a way that we care for one another, that we learn how to respond when our sin is rebuked. We learn how to respond when we are sinned against. We learn how to respond when we repent. We learn how to respond when others repent. We learn to live as the resurrected body of Christ, those who have died to sin and live in Christ. And Father, that together we walk with one another, we walk with you, we walk in ways that represent Jesus well. And so, Father, today as we live life, as we notice the sin in our own life, may we have the courage to deal with it, to tell it doesn't belong, to turn away from it and live a new life. When someone sins against us, may we have the courage to tell them that that sin doesn't belong any longer. To seek restoration. to continue to love. And Father, may the love that you've shown us be alive and active in our life, so that we would learn to forgive, that we would represent Jesus well, and that together we would rise up and make it known that sin has no place in our life. It has no place in our church. It has no place in the body of Christ. And may our homes and communities change, because we're willing to gather together and in appropriate ways rebuke and repent. And as our communities change, it's because of Jesus. So may we lift him up so that many would be drawn to him. It's in his name that I pray. Amen. This has been our Wednesday devotion and prayer time. Thank you so much for joining me today. I do pray that your day is greatly blessed by God, so that you can be a blessing to others. Have a great day.